56712. Now I'm talking to the great Jimmy Murray in his beautiful pub in Knockcrockery here in Roscommon, surrounded by photographs of great teams, hurling and football, Roscommon and Kerry, Cork and everything. Jimmy, first of all, you're very welcome to Radio Kerry.
Oh, thanks very much. I'm delighted to speak to the Kerry people. I have a lot in common with my wife, who's a Kerry woman, you know. The Lord of Mercy, she's dead now, she was born in Dingle.
Talk to me about your wife's people down there, Jimmy, and where she came from.
Her father was a Gaer. He married a Murphy from Laura. Laura's place between, you know, between Kinmare and Tralee, isn't it? Killarney and Kinmare. Lovely spot out there. Her people are all teachers. Murphy's was the names. Probably some other Kerry people remember them down there. The mother and father taught there in the school in Laura. I think those five or six of the families were teachers. Murphy's any other names. But her father married, he went down from Galway, he was a Galway man, and went down there and got married to this Murphy girl. And of course, that time when you were married in Loughborough, he was transferred back up to Spiddle. Not Spiddle, he was from Spiddle. He was a native Irish speaker, that's why he was in Dingle in the first place, I suppose. But he lived in Headford and Galway then. She was reared in Headford. He left Kerry for a year and a half, but still she claimed Kerry blood. And we used to go there quite a bit on holidays, you know, when we had a few days off.
And of course, Jimmy, talk to me about your own youth, where you were born, where you grew up, and where did the football come into the family?
Well, I was born where I am now, this house here. My father was here before me. Came here about 1915, I imagine. I was born in 1917. But there weren't much football in the family at all. Of course, at that time, it was in his infancy, I suppose, in a lot of counties, even in the 1900s. My father was a bit of an athlete this time, he told me. He used to cycle. It was the cycling came in his time, I suppose, the bicycle race became something new at the time. But he told me he had a racing bike when all he had one round the place here. But he did a fair bit of cycling this time. Nothing at any high level, but that was his shooting, if that's kind of other the sports. He never played football. So I just gone to school here, of course. Football was played here before, when I was growing up. It was a football area, and all football. And going to school, I was very, very keen. Then I went to Roscommon School and came to the last year of my primary school. I went into Roscommon, to the school in Roscommon. There were brothers there, Dealers Hell brothers. And they were hurling, was their game, Tipperary men. And did a fair bit of hurling in there, so hurling and football as a young fella. Went on, got qualified on to got on to the minor team. Played a minor for 2 years for Roscommon, junior and senior. That's how it went.
Now, Jimmy, go back to the time you got on to the minor team in Roscommon. Tell us how you progressed and what names you remember from that era.
Of course, a few of my who made the senior team after was myself. There was a Kevin Winston, a very good footballer. A Doc Callan, he won the All Ireland with us. Who was another was in that team at that time? Hugh Gibbons on that team. He won out there and after was us too. Those were about the only three that made the senior team. You know, a lot of the fellas played the county or club football.
How did the minor team do that?
I didn't do any. Call them you over. Roscommon were very weak at that time, you see. They were never heard of it at all, actually.
When did you, Jimmy? When did you pull on the Roscommon senior jersey then for the first time then, and talk to us and bring us up along?
But 1936. It was the first time. And they were beaten by Sligo in the first round of the county championship. And to give you an idea of how low football was in Roscommon at that time, Roscommon County were graded junior. The whole county was let back junior. And that was in 1938, the county was graded junior. And the following year, 1938, we played Galway in the county championship, and the Galway junior team beat us. That was they beat our first 15, the Galway second pick beat Roscommon's first 15. The following year, 1939, we got the All-Ireland Final in the Junior Championship and were beaten by Dublin in Croagh Park. Dublin then included Tommy Banks and the famous Beefy Kennedy and a few others. They went and played senior afterwards for Dublin. But they were still doing it. The following year, 1940, we won the Junior All-Ireland. And then we went back in senior status the year after, 1941, we went back in senior ranks again for the first time for years. And now it's amazing, I think, that Roscommon, 1940 were a junior team, and 1943 were senior champions of our Ireland. Wasn't it a great come up?
Jimmy, it was a wonderful come up. And when you came up, talk to us, how the All-Ireland, you were talking about you won the All-Irelands, talk to us how it came about and how the build-up came to it, and what brought about the big revival, and who was instrumental behind it?
Well, a lot of credit went to the CBS in Roscommon. The brothers came in there, the Christian brothers, and they were great men for sport, as you know. Well, Dan O'Rourke, I always give him great credit. Dan O'Rourke, he was the chairman of the county board that time. He was a TD, actually. And John Fahey was the county secretary. And Dan O'Rourke now took us into his own house to train us for the was in there. Collector training was in the norm at that time. You know what a collector training was. And it started in Roscommon. The first place I collected tonight, there was in Dan O'Rourke's house. And he had in a garage outside, he then got 50 in beds, put them into the garage, converted into a dormitory, and got a trainer down from Galway, a fellow called Tom Malloy, who had trained the Galway team of 38, and started training the Roscommon team. Just showed you how keen he was to get Roscommon off on the road. That started in 1940, when we won the junior. And it continued on then. And then after a year or two, then they transferred the training headquarters for Roscommon Town to the old hospital. The new hospital had been built and the old one was there vacant. As an ideal spot for training, you know, the dormitories were all, the wards were all there, the beds were there, the kitchen downstairs, so an ideal place for training, lots of bathrooms, so it was ideal.
Then, Jimmy, bring us up to then when you made the breakthrough out of Connacht to win your titles. Talk to us about that period of your football life.
The first breakthrough was 1939, was Cam won minor All-Ireland. Came from nowhere and won the minor All-Ireland. And 1940, won the junior All-Ireland. And 1940, won the minor again. Now, that was three All-Irelands there. And our team, they came along after us, but nearly the all, I think, had either a junior or a minor medal. So I told you before, we won the junior in 1940. We're great, we're back senior again. And we got the kind of final in 41, and Galway beat by 1 point inside Roscommon Town. 1942, we reached the kind of final again, and Ballinasloe, and they beat again by a single point. And the following year again, for Galway Roscommon again, we beat them next time, so, and we won the All-Ireland. So the big, okay, we came gradually enough, but the minors and the juniors, of course, were the nucleus of the team.
What are your memories now, Jimmy, of the All-Ireland semi-final and the final of that year, that's 1943? What are your memories of those games and the men that you played against and the counties that you came up against?
Of course, Galway were our biggest worry for my early days to play. Well, Galway and Mayo were usually in the kind of finals of Roscommon every year. I was in there wishing that could be playing for Roscommon sometime in the kind of final. When it actually did arrive, it was a great thrill, naturally enough, but all the great names in Galway, I think, were Bobby Beggs playing for Galway. I was centre half for the famous Bobby Beggs. A bit of a headache, but, you know, and George on before Mayo and Sean Flanagan and Mick Conair, Denny Sullivan, other all great footballers. Hugh Shurkerman, Ty McCarthy playing for Kerry, for Galway, he was a Kerryman that time. Mick Ferreter was on that Galway team for first time playing. John Dunn, of course, Brendan Nestor, all those famous names for Galway. We all then had the Patsy Flanley, Henry Kenny, Porty Kelly, all those great names, or household names. Same thing was, first year was Louth. Louth were a young team like ourselves. I remember the paper saying the week before they met 2 year young teams playing at Croke Park on Sunday. But Louth had a few great names. The famous Eddie Boyle, who was a fullback playing for he was a well known fellow called Jimmy Coyle, a great footballer. And Peter Carr, who played soccer for Ireland afterwards, was playing for. Player for Louth as the minor at that time. So Louth and Roscommon, it's a great game of football and high scoring, a very wet day, I remember distinctly. We won anyway about 3 or 4 points and the feeling was something wonderful.
You were in the All-Ireland final now. The euphoria in the county, of course, must have been absolutely huge, and that was a problem in itself for you. Talk to us about the build-up to the final, Jimmy, and then talk to us about the final yourself and who you played and who you beat. The euphoria, what was it like then when you got to the final?
Oh, sure, the feeling was marvellous for a start off. I remember thinking of it, God, my name is going to I got to play an All-Ireland final, and nearly that was nearly history enough. If you never won the Bloomin' thing, to say that your name be on the history books of playing in the final. Because there was a neighbour of mine, a Galway man, who came to live here. He got married into a place here, and he had played for Galway in an All-Ireland final. He hadn't won it, but he had played in it. And we used to look at them and say, "What that man said in the All-Ireland final." So I remember saying things to myself, "God, it's like what you said in the All-Ireland final. Won't it be great?" I never knew, but anyway, it was great. And of course, the final was against Cavan. Cavan at that time were the team in Ulster, you know, at that time. Cavan won 5 All-Irelands in that period. Nearly all won them all in the 1940s and 50s. Won all their All-Irelands. So Kevin had won the All-Ireland fight at 33-35. We met them in 43 in the final. And they had big Tom O'Reilly at left, and same as John Joe O'Reilly with them, Mick Higgins, Tony Ty. No, Tony Ty wasn't on in 43, Mick Higgins was on it, Paddy Boyle and Joe Stafford, all great names.
Jimmy, how good were those people? They're legends in the sport now, and of course, we've all grown up with their names. How good were those great men?
Sure, in their day, of course, they were the best. But you see, how would they compare with the present? People would be asking me, well, that's impossible to answer anyway. You know, but in their day, they were the top flight of football in the country.
Your memories now of the final, the morning, were you nervous, and the trip to Croke Park before the game, and the dressing rooms under the old stand, and the going out in the field. Talk to us about all those times.
Yeah, no, I remember that. That was a thrill in itself. As you know, I remember writing before in an article for somebody that the feeling in a dressing room before an Ireland final is something. You have to go through it to experience it where you can realise it or imagine what it's like. And you know yourself, the tension could be cut with a knife. And I remember I said that we had, like every crowd of trolls, there's always a few jokers hanging in the pack, you know. Yeah. And fellas, even one of the mentors was a great kind of comedian. And I remember saying, looking over at me, he was white as a sheet. And there wasn't a word of him, you know. But for 10 minutes, I warmed up the pitch. And I said, this fellow is taking it very seriously, you know.
And then, Jimmy, the run out onto the Croke Park and the thousands of Roscommon supporters. What was that like?
Well, that was the greatest feeling. I've been leading the team out. It was, of course, the feeling of a captain. It gives a little bit of an extra fillip. And it makes you feel better when you're a captain, more or less. But I remember I often said, I never saw grass look so green as I thought, you know, this place looks so green. And then I said, the shock I got then was the crescendo of cheering, you know. The fierce cheering, look around, you see this huge massive face of 70,000 people. And as I said in my act before, I said 90% I never saw a Roscommon jersey before. It was the first time ever a Roscommon jersey appeared in Croke Park for the final anyway. But a lot of the people didn't, but never saw, but it gave us a great reception. And that was something that I could remember. I remember distinctly then. Yeah, you felt that awful feeling when you go out there, you see. You were thrilled, and the next minute you were kind of saying, God, if I hadn't gone through with this, would they be sitting up in the stand there, wouldn't it be lovely? Not that we know what the hell of a hear about. And then when the band starts in the parade, as a young fella, I always used to march around my own bedroom, I think, thinking about marching behind the band in Croke Park. Wouldn't it be a great feeling? And I think it's a great feeling still. I think it's a great moment. So there was some talk about cutting out the parade. I hope it never happens. I think it's a silver young fellow to be marched on behind the band of Croke Park. And that great feeling, as I said, as I described it before, marching around there, and then when you pass by Michael O'Hare's box, your mind went back to the crockery of your home. And it's just such a good, why is it back there, you know? And the people are probably around the radios, you know? And they're wishing and hoping, and what could you do? You're damnedest anyway, you know. And eventually, you got to the middle of the field and shook hands. And Big Tom was there, smiling, a big broad fellow with a big smile on his face. And he had played in our ears before, you know. So he brought back, but they gave me a bit of self confidence in himself, you know. Like he got out of the dream that was there. So it was kind of a dream march around that field. You were in a kind of a dream, all right, you know. Your mind is thousands of thoughts go flashing through your bloody mind, you know. And you're wondering and hoping and wishing, and
And then your memories of the match, Jimmy, a few incidents and the scores and the final score and things like that, and the final whistle and going up for the cup.
Well, the match itself started. Roscommon were nervous starting off. Captain were going 2 points up. In about 20 minutes, we hadn't found our feet at all. Eventually, about 10 minutes, the first half, we scored 3 points. We won 2 or 3 points at half time, the score was. But, into the dressing room at half time, then, you know. I remember well, John Dunn and Brendan Nestor came in, that took ex Galway and Galway. They gave us a bit of encouragement. So, get out there and you do it, you might never be there again, you know, that kind of thing. Give you this feeling, you know. But I had a great thrill after half time. I scored a goal and a pint in about 5 minutes. Put it to level. I got the 2 scores, you know.
What are your memories of the goal, Jimmy? Could you bring us through it?
I often said the goal, it was a big, we got a kick off our half back line, and the, I said Brendan Lynch took the kick, and he's a fierce, big, strong man, a great kick off the ground. I said to him, this ball will land in around the square, anyhow. And they're all in there, big fellas, and I'm very, very small. So I remember distinctly, this ball land in there, it might break, you know. And that's what a bear did. And it broke into bits. They all said they jumped up and I snapped it up and snatched it back to the net. Then down but past the train passed on the crockfish. Down to, but down to all the fields, down along the September evening, when people save it, hey, and at the oats, the farmer, the grand fine evening out, and because the train will come and he'll have a big fork for hay up and a match to it. Down to several down the fields, you know. And it was a great feeling. You got in the crockfish station where a big bonfire outside the railway gates there, and had to go to the station there again at the platform. The train was held up for about 20 minutes, but they didn't mind that then, they didn't like now, it's over. Into Roscommon Station, then go back into the train again eventually, and back into Roscommon Station then, and thousands again in Roscommon, so a new feeling as well. But remember the train, they had to find to get them to keep back off, the train somebody to kill the ground, fall down the line, had to sneak the train in very slowly, you know, such a ton of people there, up in the lorry then, and down to the square in Roscommon, and introduced the team again there, and make another speech there, and dance that night, and so fine. But I often said, I think the grandest feeling of all is when, and that was Monday night that I got a big, that was Monday night they said, Sunday I got a big reception in Dublin, of course, like everybody else. We had ours in the monument that time, because it's gone now, anyway, it's the biggest on the street there. But then, of course, Monday night the big reception back in Roscommon again. But then home again here, eventually, in the hour of Tuesday morning here, went to bed for a few hours, got up. But when you come out here in the street, and the crack the next morning, walk down the street, that's when I realised the whole thing. I often said that, you know, the neighbour coming out and shaking hands.
Jimmy, the following year then, that was 43, talks about the following years then.
44 then, of course, we were playing well then, Roscommon. We carried Meadows in some competition for some church. Carried Meadows up there in Dublin, but in October, and the beat was fairly well, you know. And but anyway, and the following year we played very well in 44. Won the Connacht final pretty easily, beat Mayo in the Connacht final, I think it was, and beat Cavan in the semi final, a big win against Cavan in the semi final. Then there was Kerry, of course, then, and to beat Kerry would be the. I said that when I got the Stan McGuire Cup in 44, I said, now we're all Irish, and we're beating Kerry. Because, you know, you're after Gaelic, I think, as champion, until you do beat Kerry.
What are your memories of that final then, and the people you played against, and the great Kerry players, Jimmy?
Actually, Kerry had a great team. I was telling Mia Hall tonight about here. Kerry, a huge team, big men, joking, and what, 6'6", that's what he was. Billy Myers, the other side, big man, Ty Healy, Bill Dillon, Mark McCarthy was centre half back that time, Eddie Welch left half back, Paddy Kennedy and Sean Blas in midfield, Mort Kelly, Eddie Dunn, Jackie Lyon was playing on the forward line, Paddy Barnes on the forward line, the first year, and that's 44 too. But anyway, what they're all household names, naturally enough, at that time. But, the final was, we only won by 2 points, which was a very hard game.
Who was marking you, Jimmy?
Mark McCarthy was against. He didn't play much for Kerry, no.
Yeah.
They switched him at half time, and they put Jackie Lyon in on me at half time, remember?
Jackie Lyon, how was he? What, tough man, Jackie?
Jackie was young at that time, no, younger than I was, I'd say. But, like, he was up in the forward, and back, the centre half back. And there was a paper saying next day that Lyon might have had a better job at Murray than McCarthy did. Not, I was happy. I hope Mark McCarthy isn't listening to this, but he was a good footballer too. But Jackie was a better marker, probably. But they were getting a bit of leeway as in the first half. I remember the Kerry man came up and said that Murray caused a lot of damage in the first half, but the second half he wasn't as effective. You know, so back Jackie put the curbs on me, I think. All right.
And was that win, Jimmy, sweeter than the previous one to beat Kerry?
I'd say it was, yeah. I had to put the icing on the cake. It's great to win it, of course, and if you never won again, but still, you prove yourself a team. It's to win it 2 in a row is great, of course. Nobody can win 3s or 4s in a row when they carry. But it takes a good team to win in Ireland, and it's a great team to win it twice.
Now, Jimmy, this was a golden era for Roscommon football, and you were after winning 2 in a row. You were the captain. Now you went on to 1945 and 46. Bring us through those 2 years.
Well, 45, of course, was a bit of a letdown. We're beaten in the first round of the championship by Mayo, probably overconfident was a bit, some of it anyway. But I remember distinctly following Moran's Irish Independent, and the big heading was Kerry and Roscommon beat Bite the Dust. Kerry were beaten by Cork, who were beaten by Mayo. So I said, well, we have companions anyway here, yeah. Troubles this morning. But you know, that was the big heading, we had beaten the final year before.
Did you think, Jimmy, that it was the end of that golden era then, like that you mightn't come back anymore? What was the feeling in the county?
No, I did not. But we're very disappointed on that. I remember distinctly in the meal that evening inside in the hotel in Sligo that I got up and said, look at lad, we're going to come back next year. We're beaten today, but we're not going to be beaten next year. We'll beat Mayo next year, and we'll beat Galway next year. We'll beat Redfield and Connacht. And we came back in 46 and said, if I'm concerned, the best footballer was going to play was in 46. The team was perfect. I thought they were a great team in 46. And we went, we beat, and won the semi-final against Louth and met Kerry in the final.
What happened now in this famous final, Jimmy?
Well, the first day, I always thought now that it was fixed, you see, it was put back, it was postponed, you ever know that? In 46, both Kerry and Roscommon were in training for the final, and I think it was on Thursday night, the word came down from headquarters, from the government, banned the match, because the wet harvest, 46, and the people were dependent upon, there was no food in the country during the emergency, and they couldn't allow it, so the 80,000 people to go up to Croke Park on Sunday, stay at home and save the harvest. And so the match was called off for 2 weeks. Went back into training again for the second match. And so the drawn match. But Kerry, we were 6 points up with 5 minutes to go. Kerry, you know that, you heard that for sure often, down in Kerry.
You tell us your views of it.
Well, my views, I always said, if I had that 10 minutes of my life to live again, Kerry wouldn't get the 2 goals. Anyhow, now I was, I have only a small excuse. I was gone off when it happened. I got a bad injury. I was on the sideline, lying down with a facial injury. And it was all blood. But it just shows you how near we were to win that. I remember my nose was broken. It was all blood. So I was saying, John says to me, he said, I want to wipe your face, wash the blood off. He says, you bring up the office hammer, wear a cup, you want to look presentable looking. And he shows you there, and I thought it was a matter of just going up and stand for the cup. And Kerry got 2 goals in a few minutes, and quick as light they got. Geggis were around them.
Somebody told me down in Kerry one time that you were preparing to go up and you were thinking about your speech.
Well, that was part of it. You're thinking that was, well, naturally enough, what are you going to say when you go up? But, let's say, Geggis scored one of the goals. I'm trying to sideline kick and stuff. Paddy Burke scored a very good goal. But Geggis was a soft guy. Well, I mean, he kicked it off the sideline and it went now back and forth, but it slobbered in the net anyway. But anyway.
He was still there.
But still, the next day was a great game of football. Everybody came. So I saw some Kerry man. I spent writing them years after. I said, go back in the match. They said that the replay in 46 was one of the best games of football ever played in Croke Park. You know, it was touch and go. And Kerry won by the four. The last kick of the match was a goal for Kerry. For the point in it. Because Nicklin took the whole way. They brought him Gus Clans. They dropped him, the captain. He was 46, he was the captain. And they brought him back in. And he got this big ball sent to kicked him in over the bear. He was here 2 years in last year. I snapped there in the book. He came to see me one day here. We're talking about. But he says, I look at that ball. I said, I didn't know why it was. You kicked it in. It looked like I couldn't get hold of it. Flying over the bear. He said, and won the match for Kerry.
How disappointing, Jimmy, was that for you and for your team and for the people?
Well, very disappointing for the team, anyway. I mean, the people, I suppose. They don't say much to you, but you get the odd one of good. Wouldn't be too pleased that you probably something maybe have money on you or something, but the team were very disappointed, naturally enough, because it looks like we had won. And even Kerry said that. Now, Jimmy Cahan said that to me afterwards here. Guys said, I looked at she's there for a long time there today, which was right, you know. We had a great lead. At half time, it was 1-4 to 2 points. We were like cruising, you know, it looked that way. But you know, those things happen.
Now, Jimmy, the golden era of Roscommon football was coming to close then. What happened then? What happened that team then? Bring us up now, up along to the late 40s.
Well, then 47 again, we won the Connacht Championship again in 47. The trip to America. At the very beginning of the year, Kerry and Roscommon were tipped to get there. And we won the Connacht final, this was stronger ever that Roscommon and Kerry were going to get to the Polo Grounds. But Cavan beat us in the semi-final. And that was a great Cavan team, you see. People don't realise that, you see. They were a young team, that names weren't known. It was the first year for Peter Donoghue, first year for Tony Tye, first year for PJ Duke, first year for Eddie Carolan. They were the household names afterwards. I remember distinctly the next day we came home here, people were very disappointed we were beaten for that match. And we were very disappointed. It was like a trip to York, was America was something great at that time, 50 years ago. And I remember hearing the fellas in the pub the next day saying, what the devil is wrong with you? What's happened? I said, wait, no, this Cavan team isn't, are no crowd of duds at all. They won 2 all Irelands, you see. They won 3, they won again, they won 52. So, but see, you know, when you look back at it, you know, you're 47. Well, we've been there from like, I've been there from 38. Most of him were there from 40, the one, the junior. 41, 42, were kind of finally beaten. But that was 6 or 7 years. When you give 6 or 7 years to it, you're the, you know, the, that team was gone at that time. A lot of them disappeared. They were all finished anyway. Karras went to America for a start off. He was one of the youngest of them. But, my brother failed, finished, I finished. A lot of them were dropped. They started trying to build a new team. Didn't work out for a long amount of time.
When was your last game then, Jimmy, donning the Roscommon colours?
I got a bad injury in 1948, preparing for the Connacht Championship. No, that year I got a bad knee injury and I didn't play in the Connacht Championship. I got a very bad knee. I didn't play for football, much county football. About 2 years after, I came back and was playing fairly well club football, and Roscommon got two junior, they were in junior Connacht final. And I was eligible to play. I hadn't played senior for 2 years, so they put me into the junior kind of final team. And that was my last tip. I often said I shouldn't have gone on because I didn't cover myself with glory anyway. The years I had taken their effect, or the injury had taken me, the effect I had, I think I've had rotten bad in the junior.
And of course, you led your own little Knockcockery here to honours. Talk to us about the football in Knockcockery.
Yeah, sure, Knockcockery, like that, like every small area was anxious and mad to win a county championship, like winning all Ireland, as you know. And it's the second best thing to win for your own bunch of lads. And we never had won it here. And I had the honour of leading them six times. We won six county finals. And we'd never won it since, believe it or not. We played in 10 county finals in the 40s. When Roscommon were at that height, then my local team were the team of the county. The biggest team, the best team in the county at the moment. Because I was in Castlereagh with the other. We won it in 42 and 43 and 45 and 40, then it was a break 1 year, 45 and 46 and break went 48 and 49.
The great Kerry players, Jimmy, that you came up against, Paddy Kennedy now, for instance. I was unlucky, I never saw that great man playing. Talk to me about him.
He was a gentleman, of course, and you could, as I often say, you could put a 3-year-old child playing a Paddy Kennedy, he wouldn't injure him anyway. He'd play football with him. If he didn't beat him at football, he wouldn't resort to any tactics that wouldn't be fair play.
Oh,
she was a lovely fielder. I often thought she was, they're picking those million teams, or you'd be thinking, why shouldn't Paddy Kennedy should be on it, you know, but she was very hard to pick those kind of teams, you know, but Paddy Kennedy was thereabouts, naturally enough, one of the best. Dan O'Keefe's great career, he won $7, of course, no need for elaboration on that.
Now, Jimmy, who was the greatest footballer you have often been asked this? And it's not a fair question to ask a man, but who were the best footballers you ever saw?
It's not a fair question to ask. It's hard to answer. But I've had some great centre halfbacks in my time, and like you mentioned, Bobby Bays and Willie Casey, Kerry and George Johnsby from Mayo, with Peter O'Reilly from Dublin, great centre half that time. Paddy Maitland of Wexford. Those were the great names at that time. John Joe O'Reilly, I forgot John Joe. I played in John Joe a lot of times, more than anybody else, and I could play well some days. I remember John Joe saying that to me one night at a reception. We're playing up in Cavan for up in the new cathedral up there. We're two captains sitting together that night at the reception. John Joe said to me, "Guys, I couldn't manage you today." He said, "Some days I can play you great, and I can say, I often say that about teams. Some days you can play a fellow well, and you might find that you're the next day you go to me, he'd have the measure of you all right. It wouldn't go so well for you, you know."
What was your biggest disappointment in your football career, Jim?
Oh, losing the 46 replay to Kerry was my biggest disappointment. There's no doubt at all about that. One of the biggest disappointments of my life, naturally.
What about football today now? You're watching it and following it closely. What do you think of today's game? What do you think of the players of today? Talk to me about the stars of today, the old likes of Seamus Mine and all people like that.
Oh, sure, some great games, yes. People like are always comparing here. And those are the Ashers for far better in your day, this kind of thing. They're always at this sort of thing. Well, I always say to myself, well, I always harp on those Dublin Meath matches, the Dawn matches. And the television, and you couldn't take your eyes off the television. I saw them on television. But I used to say here, well, if I give Yves as much pressure as I got, if I give my people who follow me as much pressure as I got, look at those games, that's good enough for me. Because they were great games of football. And a few great ones since now, with Kerry and Dublin, have some great matches here in the 80s. That's not so long ago, you know. And at the present, the Galway Kerry match last year was a good final. And the year before, Kerry and Galway and Kildare was a great match, I thought. you get, you know, I mean, that's the underwriters at the moment, you know.
Jimmy, big changes, of course, in the GNO. Late days, the knockout championship has gone now, Jimmy. You're set to see that go?
I would, yeah. I think you should. You should be noticed, I mean, the championship in knockout, they can play leagues if they want, they can, or other competition, but the actual championship should be on a knockout basis. Why, I don't know what they're trying to do. Well, to give us more games, I suppose they're trying to counteract this. So much soccer on television, I suppose they're trying to get more games on. Maybe that's the reason.
Jimmy, you're of course retired here now at your home and your beautiful pub here in Knockcrockery, a beautiful part of Roscommon. You have a lot of callers, of course. It's a great stopping off place. Tell me, just before we came in now, Micheál Mura Hattig had lived here. Tell us the type of people that called you now and chat to you.
Oh, sure, all. Well, footballers mostly. GA fellas, I'm saying, in general. But hardly a day passes, there isn't something that comes in here, and I've been inside there, and I'm retired now from the business, you know, my son runs it here. But I do a bit of bookkeeping for me, see all books out there. But hardly a day beside that, John come out to me and said, there's someone in the shop wants to speak to you. And I said, who is it? I think he wants to talk football. He said, I know, but he said, he wants to talk football. So I go out, you know. But I often said long ago, I remember my wife was born in Kerry, so I died somewhere now. This story won't run ahead. Kerry, what do I call it? The Kamal, or whatever you call him. I know his tradition, but I remember long ago here, the fellas were going to talk about football. I'd been having my lunch probably, and a girl, one of the big girls in my shop, she said, the boss is about to say something, wants to talk to him. She said, he's going to talk about football or something. I say, I tell them not at home. You see, I say. And after getting married there one day in the kitchen, the first day inside having her lunch, and my wife was with me, the girl came in the shop and said to me, something else. I says, tell them not at home. You do no such thing, she says. You go up there and talk to him. That man came in here to see you. So at least you may go out and talk to him. But ever since, I can never refuse anybody since, you know.
Jimmy, up in the behind me here in the pub now, there's a lovely song of verses of Knockcrockery. Now, I have no doubt you'll surely, for Radio Kerry, give us one or two verses of that beautiful song. Okay?
I don't like it. It's not a nice song. This is my daughter's in here. She played singer about it. It's a comical old song, you know. But about it's written by Padraig Kearney. You know, the famous Padraig Kearney who wrote the National Anthem.
Yeah.
I remember being at the Ireland final about 10 or 15 years ago. Karen Luffy was at the match anyway. And I was up on the soft seats that time. I think I was on the Central Council. But went down for a cup of tea at half time, you know. And he saw me. And he said, well, he's a keen football fan. And he came over to me and said, my party piece is Knockcrockery. That's the song I sing. He says, whenever I'm asked to sing a song, he says, it's Knockcrockery. You know, so. Now I could sing things like that's better than Knockcrockery. Have you ever been down to the side of Knockcrockery? The fields, they are green, and the people so gay. It was there that I first met with sweet Molly Doherty, laughing and singing and making the hay. Oh, Molly, come on, I'll tease you now, please you now. Molly, come on, I'll tease you now, please you now. Molly, come on, I'll bet you a song that is better diversion than making the hay. There's a Sagartha room there below in Knockcrockery. Quickly I found him that fine summer day, and he tied me up tightly to sweet Molly Doherty, while thrushes and linnets were singing away. Oh, Molly, come on, I'll tease you now, Molly, come on, I'll please you now, Molly, come on, I'll bet you a song, it's better diversion than making the hay. Oh, 'tis 50 long years since we came from Knockcrockery, our eyes they are dim, and our hair it is grey. But if ever sweet Molly attempts to get cross with me, I sit down beside her and wobble away. Oh, Molly, come on, I'll tease you now, Molly, come on, I'll please you now, Molly, come on, I'll bet you a song that is better diversion than making the hay.
Jimmy Murray.
You're a wonderful man. To finish our interview here, we are heading back to Killarney now. We're 170 or 80 miles, but I can tell you this, you have shortened our journey so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you. It was a great honour, Jimmy, to invite us in here and have that little chat. You're a wonderful... Do you mind me asking you what age you... Or do you like to whisper it?
Oh, dear, I'm 83. Be 84 months' time.
Jimmy, you, listen, from everybody in Kerry, can I say this, from everybody in Kerry, and we'll be playing out this in Radio Kerry, I want to thank you for your great football memories that you have given to us, the great battles you had with Kerry, and for your hospitality to every Kerry immigrant that passed your door.
Oh, surely, I'm very fond of the Kerry people. I said to Micheál here this morning, I was out at Paddy Bowen's funeral, as you may know. Paddy Bowen and myself were great friends. My wife, as I was born a few doors down from Paddy Bowen in Tingle, and his wife, remember, wheeling her out as a baby. But anyway, for that reason, we were down there on holidays and meet Paddy Bowen. But he came up here to us, they had a reception here for me, kind of, this is your life effort, the local club put it on, and the advice of Mick Higgins and Paddy Bowen, a few other of us. He came all the way from Tingle up to us, all right, which I was very honoured for. And that night we're chatting, he says to me, now I go to your funeral, if I live long, you'll come to my funeral, whoever dies first, we have to go to the funeral. We're the very same age, born in the same month, I think, the same year. But anyway, Paddy died first, the poor fella. And that was an awkward time enough for he died, and I was here dinged along with from the crockery, you know. And my daughter said, well, drive me down. He said, you have to go. You promise to go down, you go. So we went down to dinged the funeral. And I was just around Micheál and Murphy over here. Now, Kerry, again, and the tradition of football and how it's a religion with you down there. That night, that day at the High Mass, the canon, I forget his name anyway, but he won a few county finals with Tingle. And you, Paddy Bowen, history, gave a great homily on Paddy Bowen. And he turned around and he thanked all the people for coming. Jack Boothman was there, and the president of the Munster Council and the Ulster Council and all of the Kerry footballers. And that was that, he came down. Then I went up to Holy Communion like everybody else at long, and he came along and gave out Holy Communion. And I saw him, he gave it to me. I looked at him like that, I see him looking at me, you see. And I said, Pastor, you know, he's up with the altar. He says, there's one person here I didn't thank for coming. That's Jimmy Murray from Roscommon. And he gave me, he says, he's 43 or 44, captain, he's captain of 46, and his brother played for Roscommon. You have your history off. You think that I gave him a note? Well, to just show you, it wouldn't happen to Captain Kerry now, fair play.
Jimmy, listen to me, maybe you have more long and happy years retired here in our crockery. You have great memories. It was lovely to talk to you. And listen to me, we look forward to seeing you again. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.